Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
As we flipped it over, there was a plastic thing and it gouged a piece of our ceiling out, just gush. But that night as I was laying in bed, I looked up and I said, honey, man, that is an ugly gouge. I said, tomorrow, I gotta fix that. 4 years later, when we sold the house, it was still a gouge in our bedroom.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today we'll be looking at the life of Abraham, a man often referred to as the father of faith. One lesson Pastor Wayne will show us is that true faith involves taking action when God speaks, not next week, next month, or 4 years from now. In a moment, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Abraham, the Father of Faith. But first, we're going to bring you a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
Would you bow your heads with us as we pray? Lord, in the New Testament, everywhere you walked, healing took place. You'd lay hands on the blind, they would recover, and the lame, they would recover, and the sick, and they would be healed and restored. Because in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. In your presence, there is wholeness and healing, because you're a God who authors wholeness and healing. And so, Lord, we don't want to just go to a church. We want to go to you as the church, and in your presence there is healing. So, Father, right now, would you extend your hand to heal those that have maladies here, infirmities or sicknesses? In Jesus' name, we speak to sicknesses and say, be gone, for his presence is here to bring healing and wholeness. Lord, I pray that you would remove any cancers, that you would remove things that will be debilitating people and restore them in Jesus' name, so that their lives will be a full testimony of your grace and your healing. And Lord, we pray for families that have been estranged right now, Lord, would you begin a healing? Would you bring restoration? And Father, if there's any here, Lord, that have come and they're not sure where they stand with you. I mean, they come to church, but they don't know if they have a solid relationship with you. Father, would you speak to them today and let this be the beginning of an eternity of walking with you? I know you wait for our willingness to invite you into our hearts. So we do that now. With your head still bowed, if you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I know I need forgiveness and I need a new beginning. I don't understand everything there is to understand about Jesus. But you know what? Right now, God's speaking to my heart. And I know I need to give my life to him, to receive him as Lord and Savior, and to allow his forgiveness to give me a new beginning. Man, I need a new beginning. If that's you, would you just raise a hand right now and you're going to say, yes, Lord, that's me. Would you see my heart? Yeah, yeah. Would you see my life? Lord, I need you. I need you. Yeah, yeah. Lord, would you see these hands and these hearts and begin in them a work of grace in Jesus' name. And now, Father, for all that are here, would you open our hearts to receive lessons of faith that we can carry into our everyday life? We've got one life to give you on this earth. We don't want to miss it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, turn and greet two or three people. It's a day to give somebody a hug. Go ahead. Find somebody that looks like they need a hug and give them a hug and say, welcome to New Hope.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero from New Hope Christian Fellowship. Coming up in just a moment, a message entitled Abraham, the Father of Faith. Here now is Pastor Wayne.
Let's take out our notes as we continue in our series called Heroes of Legendary Faith. And as I said, we're going to have a guest speaker today. His name is Abraham. He's an older guy out of Hebrews chapter 11. You know, by the way, I thank God for the elders in our church. It's kind of a young church and a vibrant church. And we've got a lot of elders here that even though we may not sing a whole bunch of hymns and the music might be a little loud, They're just a part of this church as gifts, as treasures. They actually do a lot of ministry. They're greeters, ushers, fold bulletins, collate all kinds of stuff that we get here. I'm so grateful for the older people. Now you say, well, who qualifies as older people? Anyone over my age, just a little above me. And, you know, this one lady, when our church was a little smaller, we had these huge speakers up front. And one of these ladies sitting right in front of this speaker, she must have been like 149 years old, and her hair was blowing back when the speakers were going, they were singing. And then after one of the songs, I went up to her and I said, isn't it a little loud up front here for you? And she looked at me and said, what? She couldn't hear. So she was right in front of the speakers. Then as I talked to her, I said, you know, we don't sing a lot of hymns here, and is it okay? And she looked at me, she said, you might not sing a lot of hymns here, but this place has a lot of life, and I'll take that any day. And so thank God for our elders, and we're so grateful for them and for you. And I want to speak to all of us of one of the elders of the Bible speaking to us about faith, not just receiving faith, but allowing faith to pass through to us to the ones coming behind us. Because like any stream, if you dam it up, it becomes a cul-de-sac and it becomes a swamp. But if you break out an outlet, it causes there to be again fresh water, life starts to return, and people can come to drink. And this is it. We don't want to be a cul-de-sac of faith. We want to be a conduit of faith. Not a cul-de-sac of God's blessings, but a conduit of God's blessings. And Abraham's going to talk to us about that balance. If you miss that balance, you can know everything there is to know about faith, but faith will not be that which we're living. And so we're going to hear from him, and he's going to share about lessons of faith. Now, if there's anybody that faced a lot of challenges, it was Abraham. From the very beginning, God asks him to leave his hometown, which is way up in Mesopotamia, which is up by Iran, Iraq, and he is to by foot traverse the land to go down to a land that God would show him, but he had never been there before. And so he has to go by faith. It was some years ago where a man named C.T. Studd, a great preacher and cricket player, and from South Africa, and he writes this. He says this, the gamblers for gold are many. I mean, we invest in spec homes, mutuals, bonds, offshore investments, and they're all speculative. And you remember, I mean, how many people from Hawaii go to Las Vegas to gamble? Don't raise your hand. And it used to be DDIO, and away we go with Hawaii's money and economy. And we would just drop it over there, come back empty-handed, and beg Rob Steele and take more over there. It's just amazing. We would just gamble and gamble and gamble, you know? And so C.T. Studd said it this way. He said, the gamblers for gold are many, but the gamblers for God are few. Where are the gamblers for God? Where are the gamblers for God? And I remember when I was reading that in the book, man, I wrote in the margin. It was a library book. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was my own. I wrote in the margin of that book, I will be a gambler for God. And I thought, we need more of those. And Abraham was one of those. And God speaks to him. And let's read the scripture at the top of our notes, and you'll see where his journey begins. Let's read. Go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Yeah. He had to believe God, but that was only the beginning of his challenges and risks. He finally makes it to Israel. His nephew Lot is there. His nephew Lot settles in this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. Kind of a inner city kind of feel, you know what I'm talking about, and just not the best. Well, everything goes bad and sour, and God says to Abraham, go in and rescue him. Go in and tell him what I want him to do and the direction that he is to take and the course that he's to take. Otherwise, he will mess his future up. Abraham didn't want to go in there, but he did, and he obeyed God. Now, after all of that goes down, God says to Abraham, Abraham, now by this time, he's about 100 years old. You're going to have a son. And through him, I will build you a big, great nation. Well, Abraham's 100 years old. To him, it was like, woohoo! Because you see, they didn't have any kids up to that time. He's all excited. But you got to remember, Sarah's like 98. So when he announces it to her, she's not that excited. If you were 98, you want to get pregnant? No, you'd be 116 or so when the kid graduates from high school. And so Abraham, Sarah, we're going to have kids. And she just like cocks her, you know, pistol and says, you come near me, I shoot you. She's not that excited. So, like many of us, when God gives us a promise and we can't see, obviously, how it's going to work out, we often take matters into our own hands, don't we? Well, I really want a family, and it's not happening, so, and my biological clock is running down, so we go and make things happen. Well, that's exactly what he did. He went into Hagar, the maiden of Sarah, and she gives birth to a son. His name was Ishmael. Well, Ishmael is born, but that's not God's orders. Abraham was a little impatient, as we are. And sometimes when we take matters into our own hands of becoming prosperous or getting this marriage or this relationship going, and God, you're not working fast enough, so we cut a few corners and we end up with a dozen or so Ishmaels in our life that we've got to deal with. And that's what happened with Abraham. Oh, I mean, tell you, Sarah and Hagar started butting heads. It was like bad news. It was family feud. It was trouble in River City. It was the Hatfields and the McCoys. And so now he's got to send out Hagar and Ishmael. And then God says, do it right. Well, then Sarah gives birth to Isaac. And they are so excited and elated, so much so that Abraham's heart almost switches. In fact, it does. He puts it on his son to the point where everything is unbalanced. And you see, one of the things that's real dangerous is this. Everything except God moves. And if the devil can get you to take your heart off of God as your first love and put it onto a relationship or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or money or whatever it might be, all of those things are fine. But when we set our heart on those, it unbalances everything. And when that happens, we're in trouble. Because you see, if the devil can get your heart on something other than God, everything else moves. Then all he has to do is destroy one area of your life and he crushes your heart. And that's why God has to work with Abraham to get his heart back And so he actually says, I want you to give up Isaac. Oh, another challenge. Well, I can't tell you that this is what I think. I think that the best way to learn about faith is someone who's gone around the barn a few times with this issue. And maybe the best one to teach us is someone who's suffered a great deal and gotten through these challenges. So one of our elders out of Hebrews chapter 11 is going to be speaking to us about faith, not only receiving it, but passing it on. Now, he's called the father of our faith. And you know, I looked at Abraham and I thought, Abraham, you've suffered so much and you've had the greatest challenges in your life. But here's one of the things that I found out about faith. And this is a lesson that we're going to learn. That in every case with Abraham, in every case, it was his sheer obedience to God that impressed me. I mean, not a delayed obedience, not a procrastinated obedience, not one that he deliberated about, nor not an obedience that he says, well, I don't have anything else to do. I might as well just go and do what God says because I've messed up so much. I guess I'll go ahead and do it God's way now. No, it was his immediate obedience that when God spoke to him, he moves. You will see a phrase again and again repeated when you read about Abraham's life. And God usually speaks to him for some reason in the evening and maybe in a dream. But you'll hear this phrase over and over again. Early the next morning, Abraham arose and went to the place God instructed him. Again, early in the morning, he saddled his donkey and went. And again, early in the morning, he got going and he went to where God had called him to go. Again and again, you hear something about not delayed obedience, immediate obedience. And I thought, you know, Abraham, that's a key to faith, isn't it? That's a key to faith. No, not delayed obedience, immediate. And would you write that down in number one? Here's the first lesson that he's going to teach us, that immediate obedience is what God calls faith. Would you write that in? Immediate. No, not delayed, not after long discussion, not when there's no other choice, immediate obedience. And I watched that again and again. In fact, when he said, I need you to send Hagar and Ishmael out, that must have broke Abraham's heart. Because that was his son. And even though it wasn't Sarah's, it was his. And when he had to send them out, the Lord said, don't worry, I'm going to make of him a great nation. And I want you to load up the mules or the donkeys and send them out. Must have broke his heart. But watch this phrase. Let's read Genesis 21 and see his response go. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, then gave them to Hagar and sent her away. Would you underline rose early in the morning? You see, when he knew what God was saying, he didn't delay. He did it right away. Before his flesh could talk him out of it, his reasoning could talk himself out of it. Now, watch this. If the devil can get you to delay your obedience one day, 2 days, just deliberate on it, just think about it for a while. The reason he tries to get you to delay what you know God has asked you to do is because the devil knows that every day that passes, you get weaker. And it's not as strong anymore, that call to obedience. Every delay, every day, he dilutes your strength to obey and increases your susceptibility to rationale. And he did that even later with that is Abraham's immediate obedience. He did that later when God probably gave him the toughest test of all. No, not Ishmael this time, Isaac. And he said, I'm going to ask you to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham thought, this is a strange request. This is more difficult than anything. I cannot understand what's going on. But let's read the next scripture and see his response. Go. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took Isaac his son, split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place God had told him. Yeah. Immediate obedience. Because he knew that when God would speak, that was a time to act. And if he delayed, it would lessen that strength and that impact. Story is told of a very well-known photographer, like one that would work for National Geographic. And
And his role was to photograph eagles or eaglets in their nest and eggs, eagle eggs. And we all know that they would lay their eggs in the crevices of these cliffs. And this one place, it was very rare eggs. It would be out on this 2,000-foot precipice drop, and there would be a jutting overhang. And then in the crevice, inset in the cliff, would be a cave where that photographer would have to get into. As the story is told, is he dropped a rope over the top and let it dangle vertically. And there he climbed down and began a swinging pendulum with himself until he gained enough pendulum swing to be able to go under that overhang, grab onto the rock, and then climb into the cave and there begin shooting all of these eagle eggs. And to keep that rope from slipping, because if it did, that would be it. He's finished. He would have no way out. He took one of his cameras, because he had three, and he took one of them and tied it to the rope nice and tight and then weighted that rope down so it would stay on the inside. Well, as he was photographing the eggs, something happened. It just sort of kept pulling, just the weight of this rope pulling that camera. And before he could grab, as he turned around, he saw that camera just slip over the edge at the end of that rope, and it just swung out over this 2,000-foot precipice. And as it went out, it came to the end of the arc on the other opposite side. And this man knew he had to think very quickly. And he thought, you know, that thing is going to come back to me. And the first pass, when it comes back, will be the closest it will ever be to me. Because with each successive swing, it will recede further and further until it would hang helplessly vertical and still, and he would have no way out. And so as it's coming back, he knew that if he didn't go for the rope and jump, it would always go less and less and less. So he had to do it on the first pass. And listen, what it says to us is this, and it's such a true principle, that the strongest word from God and the clearest will be the first time he speaks. That's the strongest signal. If you ignore that, each successive time, it'll be quieter and quieter. And as you continue to delay and ignore, there'll be a day where you'll say, how come God isn't speaking to me anymore? I can't hear him at all. And so it is true with us. The first time God speaks will always be the strongest. You say, well, what happened to that guy? Did he get it? No, he missed and he died. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, he got out and he's fine. But the first pass is always the strongest. But if you ignore it, after a while, you don't even hear him. I mean, some time ago, Anna and I, when we were in Hilo, we were turning a mattress, I think, over on our bed in our bedroom. And she was on one end and I was on the other end. It was a big mattress. And so as we flipped it over, part of the corner, there was a plastic thing and it gouged a piece of our ceiling out, just and gouged. And we saw all this popcorn falling. And oh, no. And so we put the mattress down and I reprimanded her. And but that night as I was laying in bed, I looked up and I said, honey, man, that is an ugly gouge. I said, tomorrow, I got to fix that. So I went to bed, but the next day I was busy at the office, and so I was laying in bed the next night, and I thought, man, that is still ugly. I said, you know, hon, this weekend, I will fix that, and I'll have more time then. And so we went back to bed. Now the weekend passed, and about Monday or Tuesday, I was looking up at it, and I said, honey, that's still kind of ugly, isn't it? You know what? When my next vacation, I'm going to take some time and do... 4 years later... When we sold the house, it was still a gouge in our bedroom. It's funny, the first time you see it, oh man, that's ugly. I got to do something about it. But if you don't and you delay and delay and delay, what happens? After a while, it's like no big deal. You talk yourself right out of it. And one of the things I noticed about Abraham, the father of our faith, was his immediate obedience. He didn't delay. And in fact, I looked at that and I thought, that's my goal. What's that? Here it is. Would you write down? Our goal is to make godly decisions without long deliberation. Make godly, not mystical, weird ones, because sometimes we think, oh, God said, and it's just pizza and sauerkraut. But sometimes God speaks and you know it's God. And it's applicable things about your faith or attitude or honesty or whatever. And when God speaks, that's when you do it.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Abraham, the Father of Faith, by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.